Luke chapter 9, verse number 18, it came to pass as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him. So what does that mean? It means that they were there, but he was praying. And he asked them, saying, "Whom say the people that I am?" So he's been talking to the Father. Now he turns his attention to the disciples and he says, "Is our message getting out?" Isn't that what he said? "Who do they say that I am?" And the point that he wanted to get across, and you know, Ben kind of alluded to some of the ideas and some of the qualities of Jesus. But in his ministry, it was important for people to know that he was the Son of God. It was important for them to know that he was a messenger from heaven. And so he wanted to know, who do they think I am? What are they saying out there in the streets? You know, it's important. It's important if our message is getting out. It's important if our message is going in print or video or audio or verbally, face-to-face. Is our message getting out? What is the message of Capitol Heights Baptist Church? Is our message God's message? Is our message the Word of God? And I'll tell you, that's why I try to stay right in the Word. I we talk around it a little bit here and there, but this is the message. The Bible is the message. The hope, the love, the forgiveness. This morning, the faith, the hope, the charity. That's the message. The message is Jesus. Because none of the rest of it matters without Him. And Paul, in that chapter this morning, he talked about all the things we could do, but he says, but if we don't have love, what's it worth? What's it about? You know, if we don't have Jesus, if we don't have that love for God and understand how to love like God loves, then we're going to be ineffective. Did you hear that? If we don't learn how to love like God loves. We love people, but then we fall out of love with people. We distance ourselves from people. We remove people from our lives. Do we love people? Do we love them? Do we have pity? Do we have compassion? Do we care about them? Do we care? You see that passion that he has for his friend that has, as he said, come to church, been to Bible school, been to Sunday school, enjoyed it? It's so important, because what happens is he, you know, you get them coming to church and bringing them, you know, bringing your neighbor kids to church, and all of a sudden they go out of town and that's the last you see them. Just one weekend can blow the whole thing, can ruin it. Jesus said, is our message getting out? Who do they say that I am? Verse 19, they answering said, John the Baptist. Well, that doesn't work out, does it? Because they were in the same place at the same time. John baptized Jesus, and yet people will come up with some crazy ideas. They say, well, some people say you're John the Baptist. But others say Elias. Others say that one of the old prophets has risen again. Well, that would be Elijah, right? Or any of the other prophets. But they say that the one thing that's consistent is they say you've come from God. They say that you are a messenger of God. And so that was the one thing that everybody could accept, is that he was from heaven, that he was from God. And so he said, the most important question beyond what are they saying is, what do you say? You know, because it's one thing what the world says, but let me ask you something. Who is God to you? Who is Jesus to you? There'll be some that say, well, God is energy. I talked to a fellow one time on the sidewalk. He said, well, God is in everything, man. God's in that tree. God's in that grass. And they have this idea that God is just in everything. You worship everything. And the sad thing is that some of them will go to the grave believing that and wake up in eternity without God. Who is God? Well, I can tell you who he is. He's on the throne in heaven. He sent his only begotten Son to die for our sins because he had established with Abraham a covenant. And that covenant came to us. The shed blood represented our faith, represented our salvation. All of those sacrifices since the Garden of Eden, when life was taken and blood was shed, it all pointed to Calvary when Jesus, the Son of God, would die for our sins and wash our sins away. Remember this, in the Old Testament, the blood covered the sin, but in the New Testament, the blood washed the sin away. That's what the Bible says. And so, who do you say that I am? Verse 20. And Peter, answering, said, Christ, the Christ of God. Another writer says, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Well, they're the same statement, basically. The Christ, what does that mean? Christ is the sent one. Christ is the Messiah. Christ is the one that's promised from the Old Testament. Christ is the one they were looking for. And so when they were coming to see the star, they said, Where is he that is born King of the Jews? They asked that question. Well, the Jews who were deep in the scripture would have known that that was Messiah, that this represented the one sent from God. And they were expecting him. They were looking for the Christ. And yet when he was there, they didn't accept him. They were expecting him, but they did not accept him. You know, all the time people are waiting for God to wake them up, but he's given us so much opportunity to wake up on our own. And yes, by drawing us, by His Holy Spirit, drawing us and telling us it's time to commit, it's time to believe. Who do you say that I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Well, he said, that's, don't tell anybody that. Verse 21, he straightly charged them, command them, tell no man that thing. Look, he said, there's got to be some things that they realize on their own. And so let's not color in the whole picture for them. Let's let them find it on their own. Let's let them discover it. Let's let them see it. Instead of preaching that, remember when John the Baptist was about to die? He says to his disciples, his church that he's basically pastoring, he says, guys, I want you to go check with that Jesus. He's my cousin. And I want you to check with him and see if he's the one that we've been waiting for or if we should still be looking for one. Remember he said that? And Jesus didn't say, I'm the one you've been looking for, did he? He didn't say that. John the Baptist at the baptism said, the Son of God, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. God came down and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. There was no doubt he was the Christ. No doubt he was the Son of God. No doubt he would be the Savior. But Jesus said, you go back and you tell John what you see. Go back and tell him what we're doing here. And they went back and told John, and John said, yeah, he's the one. He's the one. That's what he said. You go tell him what I'm doing. Let my, not my words, but my actions, let the miracles, the power of God reveal who I am. Verse 22, he said, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be slain and be raised the third day. He said, guys, there's some challenges ahead. There's some challenges ahead. I want you to know something. He speaks to his disciples and he says, guys, you know what we've got to do? It's not going to be easy. And it's not going to look like it finished well, right? They all walked away with nothing to say. You remember that song? That Jesus had been crucified. Even in the garden, they ran away as Jesus was arrested. Take him to the cross, crucify him. We do see John there at the foot of the cross. But everybody else had fled. Peter goes to the hearing in front of the courtyard, warming himself by the fire. And then when somebody said, you're one of those guys, he said, no, not me. Yeah, they all fled. It looked like it didn't end well. And he told him, it's not going to look like it ends well, but he didn't stop there, did he? And you know, the good news is Jesus didn't stop at the cross. He didn't stop at the grave. He rose again the third day. And so he says here, and be raised the third day. And you know, not only that, but at the Mount of Transfiguration, he explained that to them. They saw that that was the case. And yet they kept pushing that back. They kept wondering. Guys, I'm telling you, the traumatic arrest and crucifixion of Jesus Christ was too much for them to reconcile, to process. It was shocking. And I mean, it's... Guys, they looked and there was their friend dead. Not just dead, but brutally dead. How could they imagine? How could they think beyond that? How could they get past that visual? How could they get past the heartbreak and the crushing spirit that was in them just destroyed? And it never they were never reminded by themselves, by their memory, oh, he said he'd be back on the third day. They weren't planning for him to come back. They sent the women to go there and prepare the body so that people could come visit the body in the grave. That was for visitation. It wasn't for resurrection. They got there and he was gone. And then they said, oh, yeah, that's right. He said he was going to do that. He said, guys, it's going to get rough. There's going to be some challenges, but we're going to finish with a great victory. And, I mean, anybody in here that watches college football knows how bad that feels sometimes, don't you? But guys, it's going to end well. We're going to do great. I know we lost this game, but next game, right? And the Miami Dolphins, we've been saying next game for a long time. Next game, but the next game, next season. Well, you see, the point is, in verse 23, he said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. He said, guys, there's going to be some challenges. So if you're going to come with me, you've got to commit. If you're going to come with me, you're going to have to determine in your heart. You're going to have to make up your mind. You're going to have to be all in, and you're going to have to make a decision that if you fall, when you fall, you'll get up. Has anybody in here sinned since you got saved? Yeah. So get back up again. Take up your cross. What is my cross? My cross is my burden or my calling. It's my part. What part does God have for me in life and ministry? That's my cross. My cross is not your cross. Maybe we'll be carrying one together at some point along the way. But the truth is, I've got a cross and you've got a cross. And Jesus said, take up your cross daily and follow me. That's why it's so important to do morning prayer, morning devotions, to pray. Somebody will say, well, pray for this family member. I do want you to know, I try to pray for you and your family by name every day. And so, obviously, there are some of your family I don't know. If you want them on the list, you got to tell me their name. That's just how it works. Why? Well, because I need to spend time with you in prayer each day. And so, in that time, I'm spending time with God. We need to have morning devotions. Why? He said daily. Daily take up your cross. Daily take. That's my burden. That's my cross. As pastor, as a member of this church, it's my obligation to pray for my brothers and sisters. It is a privilege, but I want you to know it is also my obligation. And I want you to believe it's your obligation too. We say we ought to pray for one another. Yes, it's a privilege and an obligation and a cross, a burden, a calling. And so we need to take it up daily. Daily devotion, daily prayer time, in the morning, if you will. Get your day started well. Verse 24, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Set yourself free from trying to save yourself. What a burden to try to work your way to heaven. You can't get there. By working your way to heaven, you can't balance enough good deeds. We've got to have faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, that He washed our sins away. Whosoever will save his life shall lose it. What are you preserving it for? I've heard a long time, don't wait till you retire to travel. If you got to borrow money, but get out there and live your life. Now, just be back here on Sunday morning. But here's what happens is we work so hard all our lives and then we retire and we're too tired to travel. Too tired and got too many doctor's appointments. It seems like that's all we do sometimes, isn't it? Go to the doctor. He said, don't try to save your life. If you try to save it, you're just going to lose it. It slips through our hands, doesn't it? We can't hold on to it. But if we'll invest our lives in Christ and realize that we're not going to just live here, we're going to live forever. And then we can make the most of the time we have here. We need to set ourselves free from trying to save ourselves. Verse 25, what is a man advantaged if he gained the whole world? And I just stopped there because really, what's that worth? What is it? What is it that we want so badly? What is it? Do you understand? None of it's going to satisfy us. None of it's going to fill a hole in our heart, in our spirit. To gain the whole world, to have it all. Just more stuff to take care of. More burdens. What does it advantage a man if he gained the whole world and lose himself or be cast away, be disqualified, be thrown out? You understand that cast away refers to the term in the race, and they would look at you when you were running the race, and it wasn't just a matter of who got to the finish line first, it was who was given their best. And if you started slacking and slowing down and not giving your all, they'd say, "Oh, okay, you're out." Cast away. Verse 26. And understand this, we hurt ourselves spiritually when we shift our focus from God's eternal purpose to the desire for temporary gain or temporary advantage. We see the stories all the time of people who, and I've got a friend, and you talk about somebody who had everything. He had everything that his fleshly desire could imagine. He had everything. And you know what? It all crumbled. Now he's living for Jesus. He's serving God, doing a great work. But he had that life, that prodigal son. That's his story. You say, "Oh, but I bet he enjoyed it while he had it." What did he advantage? Almost killed him. Verse 26, "Whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels." We cannot cower when we face the challenge of our faith. And I appreciate again the testimony that Ben shared about, you know, trying to lead his friend to Jesus and trying to convince his friend about the gospel and about God. And he said, I got to go. I just got to get out of here. But you know what he didn't do? He didn't say, "Well, it's so you believe what you want to believe. It's okay. Whatever you believe, as long as you're sincere, it'll get you to heaven." And that's what people say. Some of them consider themselves to be gospel preachers. But when put to the challenge, they say, "Well, you know, that's what I believe. You believe what you believe. And I believe in the end we'll all be okay." No, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, "No man cometh to the Father but by me." And the Bible says that whosoever's name was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And I don't know about you, but that's not okay. We must commit daily to sacrifice for the sake of others. That's what a cross is. It's about sacrifice. We must take up our daily assignment through prayer and devotion, time with God. We must daily do that. And daily say, "Lord, I'm going to follow you. Show me where to go. Show me what to do. I'm going to follow you." Daily. "If any man will follow me, let him take up his cross and come after me." Let's stand. Father, we pray that we'll have the devotion, that we'll have the commitment, that we'll have the courage to stand for what is right. Lord, as I look around, I know our people, your people, they're good people, godly people, Bible people, Christian people. Lord, there may come a day when we're tested in our faith. And while I 100% believe that everybody in this room would stand true with you, I pray that you will reinforce that by your Spirit. God, give us courage. Give us the confidence to stay in the Word, to know the Word, to stay in prayer, to know you, to walk in the Spirit. God, guide us. Dismiss us now with your grace. Forgive our sins and bring us back together. In Jesus' name, amen.